going to move that. I got another mic on, so I get this, if that's all right. Can you hear me? All right. Thank you. All right. When I was gotten with a couple months ago to ask to share, I remember what Luke said when he said, when he shared about Mark the Spot. I don't know if you remember that when we had opening sharings. And so I started saying, Lord, help me mark the spots. So may he do that and be with us this morning. I want to share two psalms that have been on my mind often, Psalm 132 and 127. There's no clear understanding who wrote the Psalm 132, but I'm going to read portions of it, and if you don't mind, I'm going to kind of amplify it along the way and paraphrase some parts. It says, "Remember, O Lord, on David's behalf, in all his afflictions, to see this accomplished, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the Mighty One of Jacob," him being a supplanter, but yet one God said, "I love." The psalmist goes on and says, "David said, surely I will not enter my house, nor will I lie on my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or rest or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place, and I think in my heart, for the Mighty One of Jacob. Behold, take note, we heard of it, we found it in a field." And I look back when I read this, and I remember hearing about it in a message tape, and I remember finding it with the saints in Port Charlotte when I went down there, how we really saw what the Lord was after. "For the Lord has chosen Zion," that's a city, "his bride. He has desired it for his habitation, his home. This is my resting place forever, says the Lord. Here I will dwell and live, for I have desired it." And that's in us and with us. "I will abundantly bless her provisions. I will satisfy her needy with bread." And in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus said, "I am the bread." "Her priests," in the New Testament, we're told, he's made us a kingdom of priests. "I will clothe with salvation," and I think of Christ. "And her godly ones, only by his doing, will sing for joy." And then Psalm 127. It says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord, our great high priest, guards the city," his church, "the watchman keeps awake in vain." For the Lord is the true watchman, the true guard. "It is vain for you to rise up early, to retrieve late," that means to be self-driven, thinking maybe my energy, my powers, "to eat the bread," the food, the wisdom, "of painful labors, my own efforts for his building. For he gives to his beloved, even in his sleep." He can give his wisdom, his power, his food to us even while we sleep. Now, what I'm sharing today really stems from the past summer conference that we had. There are some notes there. I'm not preaching or teaching this morning. I'm only saying to you what's inside of me and what's been there and stays there. And I know many of us, and we all have that, but that's what's on my heart this morning. And regarding us as believers in his church universally. In my morning reads, I've marked up these psalms. And like Danette said one time when she came up here, she says, "This is nothing new. It's nothing you haven't heard before." I see it as another slice of bread for us, another helping of in what the Lord's doing. So let's pray. Lord, we are always dependent on you. We thank you for fresh bread. We thank you for you always wanting to remind us and encourage us and give us all of your enablement to go on what you're after and allowing us to be a part of it. We love you. And we ask that you would just be with us this morning. In your name we ask. As I said, I hope that this morning we see something new and fresh for all of us. And it's mostly regarding the building of his church. In these two songs, we see the psalmist's love for the Lord and the Lord's desire, the Lord's response back. There's a dialogue going on. And some matters that cross my heart and mind about the Lord building his church is some ideas. How will he build his church? The problems we face that the Lord deals with. The matter of our first love. That things happen in life, or I call it life happens. The matter of of time, the whole issue of time, how it goes by so fast. And how revelation from the Lord has to be revisited to us. And how the church has a hope in the end. Whenever I'm reading, I'm often crosses my mind, I see one thing. It seems like no matter what book I pick up or what scripture I'm reading, it's in reference to him and his house and what he's after, his purpose. And one thing I've seen is that it takes so much time in our standards because we have a finite limited of time. But the Lord, you know, 4,000 years ago, how many thousand years ago, however long ago, when the creation was done, or when Jesus came, and when Peter said the end is near. I think sometimes that it's for that generation. You know, the end is near. And the end is near, because as Reagan prayed this morning, Lord, we want you. We want you. But to one degree, aren't we glad that the Lord didn't come back in the book of Acts, because we wouldn't be here, and we wouldn't be a part of it, and we wouldn't be able to be there and enjoy, and had he finished, you know, what he was doing. And also our loved ones, the people we pray for, they wouldn't be in on that. And our grandkids or our kids are all of it. So the Lord in his wisdom knows when, and the Father knows when he's calling the Son home. So he's still going to complete this church. He's going to complete this bride. And I'm grateful that we're part of it. But I think there's also a cry on us, come Lord Jesus. You know. Now, prior to all of this, there's so much thought and planning on what the Lord does in his church. And for me, excuse me, I may have missed something. I'm sorry. All right, and when it comes to the building of his church, it isn't a quick process and for the Lord. And it's not like you see these 90-day cutter-cookie model homes. And they're done. I remember going to work one time, and I remember them breaking ground, and I said, I want to take note how long they put this house up. You know, and they were done complete. It was a nice-looking home. It was done in 90 days. You know, with the carpet. Sign was out there, come on in and look. And versus a custom home, which the Lord says he desires. The Lord doesn't have a cookie-cutter church. You know, it's something he desires, something he's after. Now, some of you may be aware, some of you may not, but, you know, Bethany and Reagan, my son-in-law and daughter, they bought a farmhouse, and it has some extra acreage on it. And they asked us if we would like to buy some land and build next door to them. And when I share that with other people at work, they go, wow, that's really something. That says something. I said, yeah, you know, it does bless me. And we were excited, and it touched Annette and I both. And so we said, okay. You know, so we bought the land, but there was already, as soon as I went to the courthouse to go find out about this, and bear with me with this analogy. All right. Went to the courthouse, and I said, yeah, you can do that, but you got to wait 2 years before you can build. And I said, well, why? And he said, well, we have ordinances, you know, in Chesterfield, and you divvy off land, and we have a 2-year window because we don't want developers coming in there, and they had their, seemed to make sense. So I said, okay. And I went ahead and waited. And We finally got in. You know, my father-in-law, I was able to, and I endeavored with the project. My father-in-law, he was the one who got me started on this when I was like 26 years old. He says, "We're going to build a house." This is how we do it. So he has some experience, you know. And so I was the gopher boy. And he had a contractor that has a friend, and we got his name, and we went ahead. And anyhow, when this whole house was done from beginning to end that we are in now, it was 362 days, 3 days short of a year. And prior to that, though, so much planning had to go into this. A lot of planning. And so it is with the Lord's church, you know, for what he's building. For me, you know, when it started off, I mentioned this to, and I mentioned to John, because I heard John had done some homes for his sons, and he says, "Well, you need this book. So you go get this book." So I got the book that he mentioned to get. And it was a big, thick manual. And so I spent a year watching TV and in between. I was able to read and underlining and marking and taking notes for a whole year. And then I wasn't happy with the house that I had in my mind. And Danette found a floor plan online. She sent this. I said, "Fine, this will work. This will work. It's custom designed for me, for us, for what we like." Then Kenny directed me to an architect. And that guy, poor guy, put him through a lot of torment for 4 months, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, tweaking it for what I had in mind. And then there were obstacles along the way. As we waited this whole 2 years, you know, my family was saying, "What's taking so long?" And then we'd have another Thanksgiving dinner. "Sure, it's taking a long time." And we'd have Easter dinner in our house. "Are the blueprints done yet?" You know, and then maybe another Christmas would go by. "And maybe you should have got a contractor," you know. And we chuckled about it. I said, "Well, I said, now I know how Noah felt, you know, building the ark, and yeah, it's going to rain." And I know they were loving about it. And I understood that they did not understand the dynamics involved with the holdups. I mean, I'm talking 50 phone calls, you know, I'm talking just to get the land in our name. And then I thought, you know, if I hired a contractor, he's going to do it his way. You know, and I'm thinking about the Lord and the church, you know, the man's trying to do it his way. And I'm very cognizant of the Lord and the church while all this is going on, too. And I remember, you know, we built, my father-in-law helped us with the first two homes, and then I told Danette, I said, "You know, this next house, this is back in Florida, let's just hire a contractor. You know, I'm getting too busy, we're raising a family now, we both work." And so we hired a contractor, and long story short, in the middle of building the house, you know, I wanted some changes, and it was $500 a pop, and we're talking 30 years ago. You know, so every time you want to make a change, it was $500. And I said, "You know, I don't want somebody else being in control." And so I said, "Okay, you know," I decided to go ahead with this. Oh, and then when the worst case happened in that situation, halfway through that house, that contractor skipped town with $40,000 of our money. And that's 20 years ago. All right? Maybe $80,000 today. But we won't get into that. All right? So I said, "No, I don't think I want a contractor. I don't think of that." So I said, "Let's try this." So I went and started looking at a lot of model homes, took pictures, took notes, and realizing how I'm going to need, what kind of foundations to look for, what kind of windows, what kind of doors, what kind of trim, what kind of layout we would go along with this. And then I got all that, and then, you know, John gets to me one Sunday and says, "You know, Bob, you need a truck. You're going to need a truck." I thought, "Oh, I need a truck? Yeah." So I went ahead, and Danette and I shopped around, got a truck, and ended up putting 8,000 miles on this truck just for the house. I could have went to California, back in California, and one more time back, you know. But all the running around. But my point that I'm making is that it involved a lot of planning. And again, I liken this unto the Lord. He knows what's all involved. He knows what has to be done for this church to be ready. When the clearing of the land came, you know, and I did walk around there for a while, and I would mark which trees were colorful in the fall so I wouldn't cut them down, and, you know, planning it all out, and I'm thinking, you know, and it was dark, and the trees came, they cut down, it was good, everything was fine, and the clearing of the lot went smooth. And in fact, it was kind of fun. I mean, Caleb would climb up on all the logs and make rocks, the big rocks, and have a ball. And Ava was out there climbing around. But the clearing of the land went okay, and we had to wait 6 weeks because there was so much rain before they could start any work on the place. So when they broke ground to do the actual foundation. I saw the digging going on. I saw the iron rods being put in there. There were about 15 men out there at that time. Contractors, they're all talking back and forth. And I looked around and I said, what did I get myself into? Because my father-in-law wasn't there. You know, he knew. So I rested on him. And I said, this is a lot. And I said, I can't turn back. And I said to myself, I think I bit off more than I can chew. And some anxiety kicked in. And I remember where Jesus said, you know, when a man's going to build a house, he's really got to consider the cost. He's got to have everything all set up because people are going to laugh at you if you can't finish it. That crossed my mind, okay? I thought, okay, Lord, you know. Then there were more obstacles besides that, the anxiety. I had to go to the brothers for prayer. I said, I can't sleep, you know, taking too many pills. And I was concerned. I said, I can't pray. And what I did for a year during the whole construction of the house, my prayers were the Psalms. I said, Lord, my brain goes here, my brain goes there. So I'm going to read the Psalms. And these are my prayers. And they were. And the Lord really blessed me. And he really met me to go on. And I felt driven now. I felt empowered by the Lord. And I kept Danette from some of this stuff that was going on because some of these contractors were trying to be sly and sneaky. And it was a battle. And I think about how for the Lord, you know, it's a battle. And there was even a phase where so much got done and then the stairs weren't coming. Waiting for the stairs. When are the stairs going to get in? When the kids can never go upstairs because the stairs aren't there. When are the stairs going to get there? You know, when are we going to be able? Why is it taking so long? And during this whole time, I kept being reminded how what the Lord has to do, how he has to wait, how he has to wait. And even though there were all these setbacks, I felt encouraged by the Lord. And with all these pressures, I felt encouraged by the Lord. I know it was him. I don't think it was the pressures. I know there was purpose now. And I saw how the Lord had purpose. And I felt the Lord was with me in my morning times. And he was blessed me to be with my kids. And so I look back now and I reflect at how I'm so glad the Lord didn't stop building back in Acts or during the Silver Times, 500 AD, during Martin Luther King. He kept waiting. The Brethren movement in England, everybody, Sparks and Mueller and Spurgeon, he wasn't done. He wasn't done yet. And aren't we glad? We wouldn't be in the bride. We wouldn't be married to him someday. And again, a house that took so long. And it really takes generations. And I know, I think this is Kenny's favorite verse, Acts 13:36, or what he claims or refers to. David seeing God's purpose in his own generation. That's what he did. And he says, and he fell asleep and he underwent decay. But David was faithful in his generation to serve God's purpose. And his purpose was to have that blueprint. And he kept hearing from the Lord. And then he passed that on to Solomon. And Solomon saw that it was completed. Now, how will he build? I'm not going to say today, this morning. I can only say what's going on inside of me. But I don't pretend to know exactly how he's going to build. But only from what I've heard and read and been made real to me. I'm of the belief and the conviction that it is, and I know we believe this too, that it's with living stones. But he's the one that makes them living. And we're all familiar with that scripture, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And then where Jesus says, I will build my church. And I said to myself, okay, how does the Spirit build? How will he still build? Well, he's the head. And the head knows what the body needs. My body doesn't tell my head too much what to do, I don't think. You know? But my head says, oh, I have an infection. Or my head says, oh, you got a cold. Or my head says, oh, you got a leg you got to take care of. Or my head says, oh, you can't sleep. My head says, you know, you need some nourishment. You need some water. My head says, hey, go out and sit in the sun. You need some vitamin D. I mean, my head tells my body what it needs. And so it is with the Lord. He knows what the body needs. And he makes directives. And, Now, along with this building, I mean, he knows what I need, or he knows what the body needs. He builds with his character in us. Again, I'm sharing something I know we all know. All right? It's a slice of bread. It's a refreshment, I hope. I remember one time, Lance sharing, and it stuck with me. I think he said it here. I don't know if it was at the conference, but I think it was here. He said, you know, life is like a spiritual laboratory. And it's for training. I mean, for discipline. But I see discipline here as training. You know, when I have, sometimes there's a negative tone to the word discipline. But when I have parent conferences, all of a sudden, but when I mean discipline, I mean training. You know, I don't mean punishment. You know, we've got to train your son or your daughter. We've got to help them. And there are thousands of areas in our life where we need training, where we need things done. Daily workings. And it's like a test tube. You know, think of a laboratory. In Florida, when I used to live there, we went to this field trip every year. And Thomas Edison, he had a home in Fort Myers with Ford. I forgot Ford's first name. Henry, yes. Okay, Henry Ford. Henry Ford, very good. Henry Ford and Thomas Edison had summer homes in Florida, in Fort Myers. And they were neighbors. Right? Two inventors, rich, wealthy. But Edison had his summer laboratory down there. He just couldn't stay away from the laboratory. And so we would visit this lab every single summer. I mean, every school year. I'm sorry, it wasn't summer. As a field trip. And we would go there, and you would literally see thousands of test tubes and beakers that were still laid there and kept for after he was gone. And the tour guide would come by, and I was really impressed, because she would say, you know, he had a cot, and his cot was there. He had a cot there, even though he had a mansion next door. His laboratory was next to his mansion. He had a cot inside there. He could have went in his mansion and went to bed. But he decided to sleep in that cot for just a couple more hours. Then he'd get up and work some more in the lab. And then get tired and go back on that cot and get up some more and work on that. And he was working on this light bulb. All right? And they have recorded over 10,000 attempts to make a light bulb. 10,000. All right? All recorded. He tried this. That didn't work. Then he did this. Then he did, and he went, oh, that didn't work. Well, tomorrow I'll try this. That didn't work. Tomorrow I'll do this. And then finally it would work. Then it only lasts for 1 second. And then anyhow, the light would work for 1 second. But my point is, he was given to this. And what was the outcome? We have this artificial light today. Yeah. Now, it's artificial, but it's light. But that was the outcome. And so I'm thinking, I was impressed with that. And what the Lord would like to have from us? Yeah. What he would like to have from us? If this man can do this. And we have test tubes. I hate to call them test tubes, though, because I don't think the Lord tests us so much as he's working in us. You know, let me try working this in you. See if you obey me here. I want to help you here. Will you yield to me here? Will you respond to me here? Those are the tests I think the Lord does for us, for our benefit, because he wants to do something in our lives. And there are thousands of tests, like I said. One of them, James says, is like the tongue. He says, no man can tame the tongue. You know, the tongue, once you say something, you can't grab it back. The damage is done, you know. I mean, and all these tests that we have in our life, it's the disciplining in our lives, how we spend our money, how we spend our time, what we do with our energies. You know, there's a track I saw one time in Florida. I can't find it anymore. It's called Others May and You Cannot. All right? And other brothers and sisters might get to do something, but maybe they're not where they're supposed to be. Maybe they are. They can, you cannot. Some people will be affluent, some will not. Some will be healthy, some will not. Some will have a particular mission, you may not. I don't know. But the track, I always remember that track. And all. But the point is, everybody's test tubes might be different. The Lord knows what he has to work on with you. He knows what he has to work on with me. And also regarding how he builds through not only this character that he's wanting to do in us, but he's got that, remember the parable of the talents. All right? There is something that he wants from us. We're servants, you know. It's called the parable of the talents, who was a servant, but he was a disobedient servant. That was the problem there. He was given a talent from his master, but he just wasn't obedient with it. And I ask myself, what is my talent? You know, one thing I know I can do, anybody can do, is pray. You know? Bob, but did you pray? I gave you how many years, but did you really pray for what I wanted, what I needed, what I wanted to do? All right? Was I faithful to that? You know, I remember my mom. You know, she was 92 years old. She passed away at 93, but she was still in her apartment at 92. She says, I'm just bored out of my mind. You know, she's watching so much TV. She was a Catholic believer. I respect that. You know, she knew of Christ and she respected him. And she said, but I just don't. I said, well, you know what, Mom? I said, well, I don't know how long I'm going to live, but if I'm living and I can't drive anymore, and this is when I visited her down in Florida, you know, I can't drive anymore. You know what I'm going to do? What? What are you going to do? She was, yeah. I said, I think I'm going to be praying for people. And praying? Yeah, you pray for people. You pray for situations. Pray for God to have his way. Pray for his kingdom to come. Just pray. She says, well, and I don't know if she ever did. I doubt it, you know. But I left her with that. The point is, you know, we can do, we have, there's one talent. So the Lord is just after us. You know, it could be serving, it could be a cup of cold water, it could be coffee, it could be visiting someone, where the Jesus said, if you're faithful in little, I'll make you faithful in much. He also builds through body life. Now he's given us talents, I'm trying to review, he wants to work his character in us. And then it's the body life too. We know all the hand-foot metaphors in the scriptures. Can the hand say, I don't need the foot? But it's all for building up. And what comes to my mind here, where I've failed, across my mind, we remember Brother Dennis Domer. And I would meet him at the gym. We went to the same gym. And we'd talk. And he would tell me how lonely he was. Dennis was different, but he loved God, you know? And when he died, I grieved. I know he's with the Lord. I know the Lord's got him, and he's in a good place. But I grieved that I didn't say, well, Dennis, how about after we work out, we go get a cup of coffee at Starbucks? You know, just spend an hour together. I could have done that 25 times. You know, because it was after he retired, he told me that. And I think we heard him say that here. And you know, after you retire, what do you do? Well, you go home with the Lord, if you remember that quote. Okay? And Caroline, I don't mean to stir any hurts, okay? I want you to see it as love. There was Fontaine. He would always grab me when he could after the Lord's table. And he and I had a little hobby. I still have the same hobby. But we collect silver coins, dimes and quarters and half dollars. And he would always want to say, hey, Bob, and tell me something about some quarters and half dollars and silver dollars, you know? And we enjoyed the fellowship. And that was an earthly topic, you know. We enjoyed the fellowship. And we always said, we got to get together. Let's get together for a cup of coffee. Let's get together for lunch. And let's just talk about, you know, silver. I said, okay. I just never did that. And he's good. He's in a good place. But the point is, there was some mortar in the body of Christ that could have been added with Fontaine, with Dennis, And I'm just encouraging us, let's be sensitive to what the Lord might want to do. Another working, you know, in this laboratory, if I may call it that, David said in this psalm, I don't involve myself in great matters, things too consuming. He says, I quiet my soul, I quiet my mind. And so I say to myself, what's consuming me? What's distracting me all the time? And I, Brother Jim Bob pulled this out not too long ago. All right? And, you know, I might be listening to the economy. I might be listening about silver. I might be listening about Trump. I might be listening, whatever it might be. But is it consuming me? Is it sucking up my time? You know? And he says, I quiet my soul. I quiet my minds, my emotions. And I'll just say, wrap with this one thing, too. There was a family when I went to Russia years ago to an orphanage to visit down there. And visited a home, and the wallpaper was literally rolled down. I visited an apartment, rolled down in the walls. It was very old wallpaper, extremely old wallpaper, maybe 40, 50 years old, because it was colored yellow. And we were having food there in their home, Russian family, a Christian Russian family, and they invited us over for a meal. And she said, excuse the mess, we're moving. And I didn't catch on. I know, right? So then later on, the brother and sister was with me. He says, well, what they mean is they don't have time to remodel. They're after what the Lord wants to do in the church. They're busy having people over. They're busy going over. They're busy ministering, helping, needs, building up, meeting, prayer meetings, Bible studies, more fellowship. They just want body life. They don't have time to fix the wallpaper. All right? They're moving. Where are they moving? That's what they meant. They're moving. All right? So, now, I know I'm not going to get done, so I'm going to have to stop. But I'll just wrap here with how the Lord is wanting to build His church. And we know that. And He's building it through His Holy Spirit working on our character. He's reminding us of our talents. He's reminding us that there is body life involved in this building and that He's not done, but yet, everything that we know as far as world prophecy is finished. I'll remember one thing, I may have said this once before. I read a lot of George Mueller books. And one of those Mueller autobiographies, I was just touched by his life. He went to Israel, and he was in a horse and buggy, because that's all there was back then. And he got back in his horse and buggy, and after he looked at Israel, he says, well, Lord, you're not coming, because it's Palestine, I guess. He says, you're not coming back yet, because Israel's not there. Now that prophecy has been fulfilled. So, all I'm saying is the Lord is near, and He wants to build His church, and that's what's been inside of me. You know, I see this house and all that I went through, and I see all these thousands of opportunities that we have for the Holy Spirit to work in us. You know, if He works on two or three issues a day, that's 1,000 test tubes a year. All right, that He has to work on you or to work on me. And so that only so that He can develop His character. And there's going to be problems along the way. We got this old man that's there. And there's Jacob that he wrestles with and struggles with. And the question that we have to ask ourselves, will I let him win when I wrestle with him? Will I let him touch me? Will I let him make me not walk the same ever, ever again? I'm going to stop with that because I want to honor my brother. All right? No, he's the... okay, I'll stop. I want my brother up here. All right, so let's just thank the Lord. Lord, I just thank You and love You with You together. And we just pray that these things I've said might be reminders for all of us and that encouragement in our lives, what You're wanting to do, and we love You. Amen.